say it's an average adult day, and you get up in the morning, go to your challenging, white-collar, college graduate job, and you work hard for 9 or 10 hours. And at the end of the day, you're tired, and you're stressed out, and all you want is to go home and have a good supper, and maybe unwind for a couple hours, and then hit the rack early because you have to get up the next day and do it all again. But then you remember there's no food at home. You haven't had time to shop this week because of your challenging job. And so now, after work, you have to get in your car and drive to the supermarket. It's the end of the workday, and the traffic's very bad, so getting to the store takes way longer than it should. And when you finally get there, the supermarket is very crowded because, of course, it's the time of day when all the other people's jobs also try to squeeze in some grocery shopping. And the store is hideously, fluorescently lit and infused with soul-killing music or corporate pop. And it's pretty much the last place you want to be, but you can't just get in and quickly out. You have to wander all over the huge, overlit store's crowded aisles to find the stuff you want, and you have to maneuver your junky cart through all these other tired, hurried people with carts. And of course, there are also the glacially slow old people, and the spacey people, and the ADHD kids who all block the aisle. And you have to grit your teeth and try to be polite as you ask them to let you buy. And eventually, finally, you get all your supper supplies. Except now it turns out there aren't enough checkout lanes open, even though it's the end of the day rush. So the checkout line is incredibly long. Which is stupid and infuriating, but you can't take your fury out on the frantic lady working the register, who's overworked at a job whose daily tedium and meaninglessness surpass the imagination of any of us here at a prestigious college. But anyway, you finally get to the checkout line's front and you pay for your food, and wait to get your check or card authenticated by a machine, and you get told to have a nice day in a voice that is the absolute voice of death. And then you have to take your creepy, flimsy plastic bags of groceries in your cart with the one crazy wheel that moves maddeningly to the left, all the way out through the crowded, bumpy, littery parking lot, and try to load the bags in your car in such a way that everything doesn't fall out of the bags and roll around in the trunk on the way home. And then you have to drive all the way home through slow, heavy, SUV-intensive rush hour traffic, etc., etc. Everyone here has done this, of course, but it hasn't yet been part of you graduates' actual life routine, day after week, after month, after year. But it will be, and many more dreary, annoying, seemingly meaningless routines besides. Except, that's not the point. The point is that petty, frustrating crap like this is exactly where the work of choosing comes in. Because the traffic jams and crowded aisles and long checkout lines give me time to think. And if I don't make a conscious decision about how to think and what to pay attention to, I'm going to be pissed and miserable every time I have to food shop. Because my natural default setting is that situations like this are really all about me, about my hungriness and my fatigue and my desire to just get home. And it's going to seem for all the world like everybody else is just in my way. And who the fuck are all these people in my way? And look at how repulsive most of them are, how stupid and cow-like and dead-eyed and non-human they seem here in the checkout line. Or at how annoying and rude it is that people are talking loudly on cell phones in the middle of the line. And look at how deeply unfair this is. I've worked really hard all day and I'm starved and tired and I can't even get home to eat and unwind because of all these stupid goddamn people. Or, of course, if I'm in a more socially conscious liberal arts form of my default setting, I can spend time in the end of the day traffic jam being angry and disgusted at all the huge, stupid, lane-blocking SUVs and Hummers and V12 pickups burning their wasteful, selfish 40-gallon tanks of gas. And I can dwell on the fact that the patriotic or religious bumper stickers always seem to be on the biggest, most disgustingly selfish vehicles driven by the ugliest, most inconsiderate and aggressive drivers, who are usually talking on cell phones as they cut people off in order to get just 20 stupid feet ahead in the traffic jam. And I can think about how our children's children will despise us for wasting all the future's fuel and probably screwing up the climate, and how spoiled and stupid and selfish and disgusting we all are.
Just leave. Come a proper for the weeks I've sent you to. Ain't afraid. Just leave. Can you say? get out of the boat. Never get out of the boat. Absolutely goddamn right. Unless you were going all the way.
Thank you.
Look, if I choose to think this way, fine, lots of us do. Except that thinking this way tends to be so easy and automatic. It doesn't have to be a choice. Thinking this way is my natural default setting. It's the automatic, unconscious way that I experience the boring, frustrating, crowded parts of adult life when I'm operating on the automatic, unconscious belief that I am the center of the world and that my immediate needs and feelings are what should determine the world's priorities. The thing is that there are obviously different ways to think about these kinds of situations. In this traffic, all these vehicles stuck and idling in my way, it's not impossible that some of these people in SUVs have been in horrible auto accidents in the past, and now find driving so traumatic that their therapist has all but ordered them to get a huge, heavy SUV so they can feel safe enough to drive. Or that the Hummer that just cut me off is maybe being driven by a father whose little child is hurt or sick in the seat next to him, and he's trying to rush to the hospital, and he's in a way bigger, more legitimate hurry than I am. It is actually I who am in his way. Or I can choose to force myself to consider the likelihood that everyone else in the supermarket's checkout line is probably just as bored and frustrated as I am, and that some of these people actually have much harder, more tedious, more painful lives than I do, overall. And so on. Again, please don't think that I'm giving you moral advice, or that I'm saying you are supposed to think this way, or that anyone expects you to just automatically do it, because it's hard. It takes will and mental effort. And if you're like me, some days you won't be able to do it, or else you just flat out won't want to. But most days, if you're aware enough to give yourself a choice, you can choose to look differently at this fat, dead-eyed, over-made-up lady who just screamed at her kid in the checkout line. Maybe she's not usually like this. Maybe she's been up 3 straight nights holding the hand of her husband who's dying of bone cancer. Or maybe this very lady is the low-wage clerk at the motor vehicles department who just yesterday helped your spouse resolve a nightmarish red tape problem through some small act of bureaucratic kindness. Of course, none of this is likely, but it's also not impossible. It just depends what you want to consider. If you're automatically sure that you know what reality is and who and what is really important, if you want to operate on your default setting, then you, like me, probably will not consider possibilities that aren't pointless anymore. But if you've really learned how to think, how to pay attention, then you will know you have other options. It will actually be within your power to experience a crowded, hot, slow, consumer hell type situation as not only meaningful, but sacred, on fire with the same force that lit the stars. Compassion, love, the subsurface unity of all things. Not that that mystical stuff's necessarily true. The only thing that's capital T true is that you get to decide how you're going to try to see it. This, I submit, is the freedom of real education, of learning how to be well-adjusted. You get to consciously decide what has meaning and what doesn't.
I've heard the things they talk. without you. But I've been afraid. I've been afraid to call. Afraid to call it all. What it is, like a friend would do. Now I need a friend like you.
I've been blind, opened my eyes for the first time.